Happy New Year. I wonder how many times you've said that. How many times have you said Happy New Year? Or how many times has it been said, sorry, you're quite right. Boys and girls go out to children's church. Jumping the gun here. Well done. Thank you. Boys and girls, if you want to slip out to children's church, now's the time to do that. Thank you. Yes, we've said Happy New Year very often, and probably it's been said to us very often as well. And we have a fascination with things that are new. Whether it's the new year, whether it's the new socks you got at Christmas time, or whatever it was, we have a fascination with things that are new. We have an excitement about things that are new, like a child with a new toy. We're just fascinated, excited. Something is new. And it's the same with the new year. But it's a strange thing. It's a strange thing. If it wasn't for all the hype, how would you know that 2014 had just switched into being 2015? If it wasn't for all the excitement on around us, everything on our televisions and everywhere else about the new year, how would you know? Because 31st of December is fairly similar to the 1st of January, really. How would you know? It just drifts from one to another. The only way to know it's January is to watch the ads on television, and because it's either holidays or sofas, it must be January. For some, I don't know why sofas sell in January, but that's how you know it's January. It's a bit like crossing the border heading to Dublin. Years ago, you would have been stopped for a while. There would have been a customs officer there. There would have been a bit of a palaver to go through to get across the border. Now, unless somebody told you the border was there, well, you just wouldn't know. And yet you've gone from one jurisdiction to another. In the time that Heather and I lived in Kenya, we lived just to the north of the equator. And our nearest town was just to the south of the equator. So anytime we wanted to go to town, we had to cross the equator. And if it hadn't been for that big sign at the side of the road that said, you are now crossing the equator, we wouldn't have known. It was just a road. Maybe if we'd watched the water going down a plug hole at home and in the town, we would have known. But I never remember how that works. But you just wouldn't know because you drift from one into another, from north to the south of the equator, from 2014 into 2015. In many ways, the new year is just the same old, same old. The weather hasn't dramatically improved because it's a new year. The days haven't suddenly got longer. Very similar. But it's a time of optimism. It's a time of hope. It's a time when we look forward to better days and not just better weather, so much else. For some reason, we behave as though the turning of a page on a calendar is going to make all the difference. Suddenly, we go from the 31st of December to the 1st of January, and that's going to change our lives. As though time can change us. Time cannot make anything or anyone new. God does that. Turning a page on a calendar, throwing out last year's diary, getting this year's diary, those things in themselves don't make anything new. God makes things new. Way back in the time of the prophet Isaiah, God spoke to his people and simply said, "Behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. For the former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." God is the one who has always been at work making things new. Right from the very beginning. And you go to the end of Scripture, to Revelation chapter 21, and you read again, "I am making everything new." That's what the risen Christ says. Jesus Christ says, "I'm making everything new." Time does not make us new. God in Jesus Christ makes us new. It's not the passing of time. It's not the New Year's resolutions, no matter how well-intentioned, no matter how good and right they are, None of these things make us new. Just a moment ago, Christy read for us from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's not if anyone finds themselves in the beginning of January. If anyone finds themselves in the midst of their New Year's resolutions, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. God makes all things new. New is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Sometimes we slip through Christmas time, which we focus upon Jesus, and suddenly we get to this new year and we move to different things. But new is all about Jesus. It's all about his birth, his death, his resurrection. It's all about all three of these. And sometimes we try to separate Christmas and Easter, because Christmas is sort of cozy and warm and friendly, and Easter's a bit harsh. But without Christmas, Easter doesn't make sense. Easter only makes sense if the one who dies on the cross for us is fully human and fully God. And we see that at Christmas. Without Easter, Christmas doesn't make sense, because why would God in a child come to us in the form of a child helpless in a manger? He didn't stay that way. His birth, his death, his resurrection, all three come together. All three are needed. And again, as we heard just a minute or two ago, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. God doing this new thing, reconciling the world to himself in Jesus Christ, not counting our sins against us. At the cross, God was reconciling sinful mankind, you and me, to himself in Jesus Christ, making us new in Christ. And so he offers us a new birth. God doesn't simply offer us a slightly changed or a slightly improved model that we would like to be, where we would like to do things slightly differently about us, we would like to behave or live differently. God doesn't improve or doesn't offer this improved model. God offers us new life. The old is gone, the new has come. A new creation in Jesus Christ. And that making all things new applies to you and to me. Making all things new. The Bible reminds us so often we have sinned, we have fallen short of the glory of God. And that situation is never helped by the passing of time. We can't sit in that situation and just hope that as the days or the months or the years go by that things will change and somehow we will attain the glory of God. Doesn't work that way. The only way is to be new in Jesus Christ, a new creation, to recognize your sin, to recognize your need for the Savior, and to bow before him. In a few moments' time, we will join together in this simple meal, bread and of wine. We will drink the cup. The cup is the new covenant in my blood, says Jesus. Whenever you drink it, you do so in remembrance of me. It is all about Jesus. The first Adam lived under a covenant which basically said, if you do this, if you obey me, then you will be all right, you will live. And we know that sin crept into that relationship with God, and that first covenant was broken. And so God comes to us in Jesus Christ, the second Adam, in this new covenant. A new covenant which says your sins, your iniquities are no longer remembered because of what Jesus has done for us. Are you a new creation? On this first Sunday in 2015, are you a new creation? Or are you still the same old mess, just muddling through, but heading for an eternity without God? The promise, I make all things new, can start with you. And then we won't just wish each other a happy new year. It will be that happy new year because that newness starts with us as we become that new creation in Jesus Christ. But thank God he doesn't finish with us there. We're not new creations that are somehow wound up like some clockwork toy and set off to let them go until they run down. God continues to be with us. The grace which saves us is also the grace which sustains us in our Christian lives. God, by his Holy Spirit, is still doing new things in us. If we look at our Christian lives and we say, I don't see any new things in my life, is the problem with you or the problem with God? Is the problem with the God who says, I make all things new? Or with you and me? We don't open ourselves to the work of his Holy Spirit. Now, this is not new in the sense of being novel, new in the sense of being something that's additional to what God has revealed to us in his word. It is new to us in the sense of we have a new understanding of what God is doing. We have a new experience of what God is doing in our lives and around us, and it's new. In Lamentations, we read this. I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's love for me, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The compassions of God, new every morning. Great is his faithfulness to us. And when we experience that newness, then, like the psalmist, we can say, he's put a new song in my heart. Because in a new way, we have understood, experienced his love, his care, his grace. And we have that new song. The happiness of this new year, the happiness of any new year, does not depend on your calendar. It depends on Jesus Christ and your relationship with him. And that's why at the start of a year, it is so important to gather at this table. To be reminded of all that God in Christ has done for us, and to give us this opportunity to again commit ourselves to him and know his promises of newness to be true. May God grant us the grace to accept his gift of eternal life. May God grant us the grace to live in the knowledge and experience of his faithfulness. Shall we pray together? Behold, I make all things new, says Jesus. Lord, may this newness be a reality for us. May it be newness, Lord, perhaps because this is the time when we will recognize that today is the day of salvation, now is the hour, and bow before you and acknowledge Jesus as Savior. May this, Lord, be a time of newness for us when we recognize our own dryness, our own staleness. And you blow through our lives by your Holy Spirit, making us new. Lord, place that new song in our hearts, that we may sing your praises with our lips and with our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.